Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. The first review we're going to read is for Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe. And before we get started, just a reminder what the ratings mean. 5 stars extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. This restaurant, Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe, received 3.5 stars, and they're located at 431 West Franklin Street, and that's in Chapel Hill. Their phone number is 929-3833. The sprig of curry leaves, an exotically fragrant souvenir of my most recent visit to Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe, sits on my desk as I write this review. The leaves are curled and dry, but they were fresh when Vimala Rajadran, the restaurant's owner, gave them to my wife and me. She had noticed my pointing out curry leaves in a dish we were enjoying and trying to describe their distinctive flavor. We weren't aware that she had overheard our conversation until moments later, when she emerged from the kitchen with a fresh snip stem in her hand. That's not the only special treatment my dining companions and I received over the course of 2 visits. She also, to cite just 2 examples, split a soup 3 ways, including a house-baked roll for each, even though we said we didn't mind sharing, and she supplemented our doggy bag with additional food, quote, "so you'll have enough for lunch tomorrow." I know what you're thinking. She knew he was a restaurant critic. I honestly don't think she did, but in this case, it really doesn't matter. After you spend a few minutes in this cheery little counter service eatery, it becomes obvious that her and her staff, clearly her generous spirit is infectious, treat everyone like a restaurant critic. I'm sure she'd prefer to think of them as friends, though, and it's abundantly clear from all the first name greetings and occasional hugs that her circle of friends is very large indeed. No wonder. Prior to opening Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe in July, she had hosted weekly dinners in her Chapel Hill home for some 15 years, welcoming all comers and asking only for donations to cover the cost of food or help a worthy cause. Not surprisingly, her first restaurant already had a loyal fan base the instant it opened. But don't let a line at the order counter deter you. Takeout orders are common, and though I was never made to feel rushed, turnover is brisk. And the rewards are worth the wait. The soup our party of 3 had the good fortune to order that night was a puree of local spinach and coconut milk, velvety as custard and almost as thick. The rolls were baked with organic flour from Lindley Mills and Graham. Our doggy bag was more than a respectable rendition of Eastern North Carolina-style barbecue made with King Creek farm pork and served with cornbread, coleslaw, pickled okra, and plantain fritters. The soup was a special, and the barbecue the lone Western entree in an otherwise all-Indian offering. But both embody Rajadran's cooking philosophy. She's a strong advocate of local, naturally grown produce, and not surprisingly, counts many farmers among her friends. She strives for authenticity, but doesn't restrict her repertoire to the regional specialties of her native Mumbai, instead embracing items ranging from northern curry to southern idli to the pork barbecue tribute to her adopted home. The vegetables in her chickpea-battered pakoras change with the seasons. Tender globe-shaped Indian eggplant and cauliflower were recently featured, but the scratch-made chutneys that accompany them, a vibrant cilantro mint and tamarind chutney sweetened with dates, are a constant. Her tandoori chicken, locally sourced and among the juiciest I've ever had, gets its color not from the food coloring, but from powdered red beets and annatto. A beef curry thali features substantial nuggets of grain-fed beef in a rich coconut gravy redolent of star anise and garam masala spices. Joining the curry on the amply laden platter is a rainbow of accompaniments that, again, vary with the season. But you can count on dal, basmati rice, baha, recently a sautéed medley of green beans and carrots punctuated with curry leaves and black mustard seeds, flatbread, and a couple of garnishing condiments. There's also a vegetable curry thali, one of the several vegetarian offerings that account for more than half of the menu. Other meat-free options, some of which can be made vegan or gluten-free on request, include a chole, chickpeas simmered with whole spices and tamarind, kofta curry, and vegetable samosas. It pays to check the specials board by the order counter, too, where recent enticements have included roasted butternut squash soup, homemade ras malai, and duck egg kofta that was as delightful to the eye as to the palate. Disappointments from the kitchen are few, and some of those may well be chalked up to expectations set by other Indian restaurants. It's possible that mango lassi is authentically served at a temperature approaching lukewarm, for instance, or that some dishes are supposed to be more subtly seasoned than I've encountered elsewhere. But I do know that cornbread isn't supposed to taste as if someone forgot to add salt to the batter. Still, Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe is a most welcome addition to the local dining scene. The food is by and large first rate, and regardless of who you are, you can count on being treated like a restaurant critic, or better yet, like a friend. Again, Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe received 3.5 stars, located at 431 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, phone number 929-3833. The next restaurant we're going to read is also in Chapel Hill, and this is for Bangkok 54. They are located at 61118-B Farrington Road, again in Chapel Hill, phone number 403-5800, and they received 3 stars. Step through the front door of Bangkok 54, and you're transported to a penthouse suite in a high-rise hotel overlooking the restaurant's namesake city. Okay, so maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration. But with a little imagination, the wall-spanning mural of Bangkok's skyline, framed in gauzy curtains, creates a mood that's far removed from the reality, a strip mall eatery in a North Carolina college town. The mural is more than decoration. It's an homage to a city where the owner, Chef J. Aparj, grew up, and a harbinger of his Irving take on Thai cuisine. Creativity and artful presentation are clearly as important as authenticity. Who comes to our state, where his family owns several restaurants scattered across the Piedmont by way of New York. Appetizers are presented on a perfect circle cut from a banana leaf. Even the humble noodle dish gets a garnish of a butterfly meticulously cut from a carrot slice. The chef sprinkles a few of his own contemporary creations among the traditional Thai fare, too. Filet of the Jungle, for instance, serves up fried catfish or tilapia under a shower of Thai herb salsa. Dangerous Bangkok Challenge is a 3-meat stir-fry lit up by the explosive fuse of Nago Jalokia chilies, which are reputed to be hotter than the notoriously incendiary habanero. According to the chef, anyone who meets the challenge of consuming the entire dish in one sitting gets his or her picture on the wall. So far, no pictures. It pays to read the specials board just inside the door, where a couple of chef's inspirations are showcased each night. Recently, the rewards included jumbo shrimp in a lemongrass curry and moist grouper fillets fried in a tempura-like batter served over a complex chili sauce punctuated with pickled garlic, red bell peppers, and tamarind. Those seeking the comfort of traditional Thai fare will find it well represented, from pad Thai to pineapple fried rice to coconut curry. Dishes are authentically rendered, right down to the white bread that toasts that accompanies satays, a pairing that is popular in Thailand but seldom seen in these parts, and for the most part are skillfully executed. Curries are rich with coconut milk, not the condensed milk that is too often substituted. Pad Thai is made without the ketchup and that frequently mars American versions in a misguided attempt to duplicate the shrimp paste color of the genuine article. Stir-fried vegetables are mostly fresh. That's not to say that the kitchen is flawless. Noodles were overcooked in the Pad Khi Mao drunken noodles I ordered recently. Carrots are sometimes substituted for the locally scarce namesake ingredient in the green papaya salad, though the dish is in other respects exemplary. And authentically flavorful though the chicken satay may be, the portion is skimpy, even for $5.95. Hits outnumber misses, however, by a long shot. Savory sweet batons of Thai jerk beef pull off the difficult trick of being at once thicker than most and more tender. Talay Thai serves up a bounty of shrimp, tender squid, and eye-poppingly large scallops in a tropically fragrant red curry. His rendition of the classic minced chicken salad, Larb Gai, is likewise on the money. Most memorable of all, for my money, is the 34th Street catfish, which serves up lightly dusted fillets and a medley of bright, crunchy vegetables over an intensely flavorful basil chili sauce, garnished with fried basil leaves. The chef named the dish for the Bangkok street where he grew up and where it was a local favorite. Service is friendly and generally efficient, though pacing can lag, especially on weeknights, when there's sometimes only one server when the dining room fills up. A tiny bar at the back of the room dispenses a modest selection of beer, including 2 Thai brews, Singha and the hard-to-find Chang, wine, and sake. On the wall opposite, the Bangkok skyline is an artfully arranged pastiche of mounted photographs, mostly scenes of the city and countryside. There are also the obligatory portraits of the Thai royal family, but in this case they have special meaning. The chef will proudly tell you that his grandmother once worked in the Thai royal kitchen. No doubt she would be equally proud of her grandson's first restaurant. Again, Bangkok 54 received 3 stars, and they're located at 601118-B Farrington Road in Chapel Hill, phone number 403-5800. The next restaurant we're going to read, or I'm going to read, is Bruno. Bruno is located at 11211 Galleria Avenue, and that's in Wakefield Park in Raleigh. Their phone number is 435-6640, and they received 4 stars. On the wall behind the host stand at Bruno is a framed 1993 New York Times article citing the steaks at Manhattan Steakhouse as the best at a new restaurant in the city. The article is one of several glowing tributes to Bruno Peros, who came to the States from Croatia at age 15 and over the next 3 decades worked his way up from dishwasher to restaurant owner. Along the way, his resume includes stints as a waiter at the 21 Club and grill man at the venerable Peter Luger Steakhouse. After a 15-year successful run as owner-chef of Manhattan Steakhouse, Peros succumbed to the allures of the sunny South. He opened Bruno in May near Wake Forest. No matter where you live in the Triangle, it's worth the drive. Not surprisingly, the man can flat-out cook steak. The 14-ounce Delmonico steak is the most succulent slab of beef I've ever had in recent memory. Perfectly seasoned, precisely grilled to medium rare, properly rested, and a bargain at $23.50. The Delmonico is one of half dozen or so steaks and chops on offer, including an American Kobe that frequently makes an appearance among the nightly specials. All are served with a vegetable du jour or potato, though you can supplement your order with a selection from steakhouse-style list a la carte sides, ranging from haricot verts to sautéed mushroom caps. But don't get the impression that Bruno is merely a steakhouse. The diverse offering is an edible travelogue of a well-traveled owner's life and career, from the grilled octopus salad that evokes Adriatic shores of his childhood to the shrimp and grits nod to his new home. He is clearly passionate about seafood, and his instinct for preparing it is razor sharp. You won't find better oysters Rockefeller hereabouts, or clams casino for that matter, or shrimp scampi. Fortunately, you don't have to choose, because an appetizer combination serves up a sampling of all three. As long as you're splurging, go ahead and treat yourself to one of the best Maryland-style crab cakes around. Assuming you can resist the temptation to binge on more scampi for an entree, seafood options include trout amadine, grilled Atlantic salmon, and dry-packed sea scallops with a citrusy lemongrass sauce. Don't decide until your server has recited the nightly fresh catch, though, which can range from flounder arrigonato to lobster-fried diavolo to Tuscan-style grouper with clam, shrimp, and Adelie sausage, served over cannoli beans in a white wine reduction. Cannellini beans. Or if you're really lucky, whole Chilean turbot filleted tableside by the chef. As culturally free-ranging as the menu is, a reoccurring Italian theme gives its focus. Separate sections are devoted to the veal and chicken classics into a handful of pasta dishes such as penne alla vodka and seafood alfredo. I didn't get a chance to sample any of the veal or chicken dishes, but I can vouch for the excellent homemade gnocchi with pesto. Desserts live up to the high standards set by the savory fare. The selection varies. Apple tart tatin, a local rarity, makes an occasional appearance, but you can count on textbook renditions of creme brulee and Italian ricotta cheesecake. Kitchen miscues are infrequent, minor, and cheerfully corrected. A rack of lamb ordered medium rare, say, and served rare. In fact, there's little fault to be found with any aspect of the dining experience, unless it's your job to look for it. The friendly, well-trained staff can miss a beat when the restaurant is very busy, as it usually is on a weekend night, but chances are you'll be enjoying your meal too much to notice. The wine list is serviceable, but seldom ventures beyond familiar labels. My only complaint about the dining room, an otherwise inviting pastiche of earthstones, impressionist landscapes, and white tablecloths, is the large, cold expanse of floor-to-ceiling windows that dominate half of the soaring space. That should change soon when drapery panels are installed. Looking at all those accolades on the wall on the way out, you're struck by the fact that Bruno Peros could have easily chosen to stay in New York and rest on his laurels. Lucky for us, he didn't. Again, Bruno received 4 stars, located at 11211 Galleria Avenue in Wakefield Park, and that is in Raleigh, phone number 435-6640. Italian specialties you'd expect with ample rewards. If you like Italian food and you've lived in the area for a while, chances are you've eaten in a restaurant owned by a Longo or a Doria. Mario and Lucia Longo and Lucia's brother Vincenzo Vinny Doria have opened at least a dozen establishments scattered about the triangle from Durham to Cary to North Raleigh and covering the culinary spectrum from pizzeria to ristorante. Bella Napoli, Ristorante Lucia, Casa Dora, and most of the others are now just memories, though Vic's Ristorante Italiano in City Market continues to flourish after more than a decade. For their latest venture, just a few blocks from Vic's, the families have joined forces. The Longos opened La Volta in May at the Progress Energy Building and installed Vinny Dorio as executive chef. The result, fittingly enough, straddles the line between casual eatery and a fine dining establishment. Lucia Longo is an amiable as hostess as ever and is now joined by son Michael in setting a tone that matches the upscale casual setting. The chef follows suit with a menu that offers everything from brick oven pizzas to filet mignon miss marsala. While his offering contains a few surprises, it does offer ample rewards. Doria's fans will be pleased to see Mama's Meatballs among the antipasta listings, Mama being family matriarch Anna Doria, who created the recipe for these fine-textured, subtly seasoned spheres, as well as the rustic tomato ragu that sets them off. Calamari are as delicately breaded as you expect from a seasoned chef, too, though they can on occasion be a bit chewy. Sautéed PEI mussels, available in white wine sauce of the family recipe are a more reliable option. Better still are the melanzani rollatini, which features ribber-thin slices of eggplant wrapped around a creamy four-cheese filling and blanketed with more of that addictive ragu. Orecchiette dell'amore is a popular pasta option, and deservedly so. Pairing the ear-shaped pasta with sautéed broccoli rabe and Italian sausage in a white wine garlic sauce, the dish strikes a gratifyingly balance between hearty and refreshingly light. Veal scallopine are tender in vitello marsala, and the mushroom-studded sauce is so richly flavorful that, when the sauce breaks, you polish it off anyway. Of course, if broken sauce puts you off, you can always opt for a sturdy veal or chicken parmesan. Doria's fans will be pleased to find his penchant for seafood is still evident in the generous selection that ranges from shrimp fried diavolo to grilled salmon and is supplemented by one or two nightly fish specials. Risotto alla pescatora comes close to the mark, squaring with creamy saffron-scented pearls of rice and properly cooked jumbo shrimp and sea scallops, and marred only by a return visit from those chewy squid. Grouper Livornese, on the other hand, scores a bullseye with expertly cooked fish, Kalamata olives, and capers in a light marinara sauce served over al dente linguine. La Volta's name means the vault, a tribute to the bank that previously occupied the space. More specifically, the bank vault that the owners had converted into a combination wine cellar and private dining room. The cellar is well stocked with an Italian-leaning, reasonably priced selection, including 2 dozen labels available by the glass. The intimate space would make an excellent setting for a romantic dinner, and though it's surely booked for Valentine's Day, its charms make a strong case for proposing an alternative date for celebrating with your sweetheart. Lucia Longo is justifiably proud of her homemade layer cakes. You can generally count on finding her signature limoncello cake on the pastry tray, along with a rotating selection of 4 or 5 liqueur splashed variations on the theme, including a delightfully maraschino rum-spiked red velvet cake she recently offered, calling it an experiment. I'd say the experiment bears repeating. Mind you, these are not elaborate pastry chef creations, but rather the sort of unassuming cakes you might find at an Italian family reunion potluck. Only in this case, it's the reunion of two Italian families who just happen to have a marinara sauce running through their veins. And again, this restaurant is open at the Progress Energy Building in Raleigh. Red Zen, one of trio of Asian newbies. The new year picks up where the old one left off, with new Asian restaurants continuing to pop up all over the place like shiitakes on an oak log. The most ambitious of the latest crop is Red Zen in Durham, and that's located at 2505 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard, and their phone number is 419-1771. Owner Freddie Lee, a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America, has remodeled the former Pau Lim's dining room, where he's offering an extensive bill of Pan-Asian fare. The menu crisscrosses the continent from Peking duck curry to Sichuan beef with frequent fusion riffs such as buttermilk fried pork chop with brown soy gravy and a miso-glazed grilled Chilean sea bass with baby bok choy. Fans of the old Pao Liu will recognize a number of dishes, in particularly Indian Chinese fare, such as Manchurian chicken and chili chicken. Their presence on the menu is no coincidence. Freddie Lee was the original owner of Pao Lim, which he opened in 2001 and owned for a couple of years before selling the restaurant. In North Raleigh, Chai Asian Bistro, and that's located at 8347 Creedmoor Road, phone number 341-3715, is another newcomer with ties to a past restaurant. Mary Ung, who owns the new restaurant with her husband, Tony, is the sister of Jimmy Che, owner of Che's Noodle Bar and Bistro in Durham. Both restaurants feature a Pan-Asian offering of stir-fried noodles and noodle soups. But the Raleigh restaurant raises the ante with table service, a full bar and expanded menu, including 15 signature dishes ranging from Korean steak to Thai-style crispy fish. There's a patio, too, for those balmy nights we're all looking forward. Just a mile up the road from Chai's, Japanese restaurant Orchid, and that's located at 7432 Creedmoor Road, phone number 890-5345, offers a twist of all-you-can-eat buffet. It's all-you-can-eat, but it isn't actually a buffet. Instead of bellying up to a buffet bar, you pay a single price, dinner an all-day Sunday, $23.95, lunch $13.95, and children 4 to 13, $11.95, and kids 3 and under eat free, which entitles you to order all you can eat from a menu of sushi, teriyaki, udon noodles, and Japanese appetizers. I call it a buffet without the buffet bar, says managing partner Zhang Chow. And because dishes are prepared to order, there's one other buffet feature that's missing at Orchid: stale food. New places for food and some fun. So you've made a New Year's resolution to get in shape. Before you sign up for a health club membership, you might want to check out these places where you can get a workout and a meal under one roof. Sparian's Bowling Boutique and Bistro, and this is located at 141-120 Park at North Hill Street, and that's in Raleigh, phone number 803-3718. It is, as the name suggests, unlike any bowling alley you've ever seen. The 18 bowling lanes are surrounded by plush couches in a vibrant upscale setting with an electronic wonderland of Xbox games, Nintendo Wii, and a huge HD TV providing additional entertainment. Three private suites with six lanes accommodate up to 350 people for birthday parties and other group functions. Waiters deliver beverages and light fare throughout the center. Those who prefer a full sit-down meal can adjoin to the bistro, where temptations include shrimp cocktail, baby back ribs, Cobb salad, and Louisiana gumbo with Andalee sausage, shrimp, chicken, alligator, and crab meat. And that's just for starters. Entree options cover a similar spectrum, from grilled ribeye to panini bolognese. Of course, if you're serious about that New Year's resolution, you might want to stick with the grilled salmon with roasted tomatoes, sautéed garlic spinach, and asparagus, and hold the key lime butter sauce. Maybe you just want to give your lungs a workout. In that case, head over to Wellington Park in Cary, where every night is karaoke night at the Able Bar and Grill, and that's located at 6446 Tryon Road, and their phone number is 859-8088. And that is not the most unusual feature about this little strip center eatery, not by a mile. That honor goes to the menu, which is posted on a boar's head chalkboard near the entrance, entirely in Chinese. Fortunately, a printed English menu was also available. Turns out those pictograms on the chalkboard translate to an eclectic offering of authentic fare, most of it street food, from regions all over China. Owner Abel Liu, who hails from northeastern China, is most proud of the handmade dumplings from that region. "We didn't grow the wheat," he says of the dumplings, "but we did everything else ourselves." Other options include grilled kebabs, including lamb, beef, chicken, and for the adventurous, chicken hearts, Sichuan hot pot bowls, lamb, pork, or seafood, and a cook-at-the-table hot pot for two, four, or more. A former software engineer who came to North Carolina State in 1998 to study, he says he opened Able Bar and Grill primarily for expats like himself who long for the food of their homeland. "But everybody is welcome," he said. Pizzeria breaks out of the mold. The first sign that Maryland's Pizza, and that's located at 1231 Kildare Farm Road in Cary, phone number 388-3196, is not your typical pizzeria, is the pair of beer taps behind the order counter. The choices? Allagash White and Sweetwater 420 Extra Pale Ale. Just two taps, mind you, and nary a Bud Light to be seen. If the confident beer selection doesn't get your attention, the menu surely will. Some 40 topping options, including artisanal pepperoni and Italian sausage from San Giuseppe Salami in Elon, Ashley Farms chicken, and house-made meatballs are available on your choice of three crusts, house spinach and gluten-free, made with the organic Lindley Mills flour. Mix and match or choose from the house specialties ranging from the Big Sleep, grilled shrimp, artichoke hearts, pineapple, fresh basil, and mozzarella, to His Girl Friday, eggplant, marinated chicken, goat cheese, Monterey Jack, and walnuts. Maryland's Pizza is the first venture for Ken Fabicatori, who became a fan of California-style pizzas while working at the acclaimed DeManio's in Hollywood to help pay his way through music school. Locally, Fabricatori honed his talent and evidently his pizza naming skills for 7 years at Lily's Pizza. Maryland is named for his mother, half of the mom-and-pop team that owned a string of Italian delis in New York dating to the late 1950s. The owner of Fiasco's, and that's located at 10410-107 Moncrief Road, phone number 400-8347, which opened this month at the Bridale Shopping Center, also comes from a family of Italian restaurateurs. But David Sesco, who worked at his partner's restaurant, La Russa's Italian Delicatessen in Chapel Hill, until it closed a few months ago, has set off an entirely new direction. The specialty at Fiasco's is the trendy mini-bar burger known as the Slider. Sesco offers four variations on the theme, hand-padded and served on locally baked buns, grass-fed Angus beef, free-range turkey, bison, and house-made black bean. Once you've settled on a protein, choose from 10 topping combinations, from jamming brie, raspberry jam brie, toasted almonds, fresh greens, to jalapeno, grilled fresh jalapenos, avocado spread, crispy noodles, Monterey Jack cheese, and fresh greens. The restaurant's motto is sliders and more. For now, the more part refers to the fact that you can get any slider combination on ciabatta, whole wheat, or hand-rolled honey basil flatbread. Sesco is brimming with ideas, though, and says he's created the motto to allow him plenty of room for creative flexibility. I want to be free to serve a steak if I like, or maybe a foie gras, says the enthusiastic young owner. Maybe a foie gras slider? And it looks like that we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen again, and I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.